This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Shao Yik, together with Tina Camellia and Sharmila Ganesan. Earlier, we discussed what took place at the recent Indian Science Congress, including, you know, test tube babies being born thousands of years ago and all sorts of pseudo-scientific beliefs being spouted at the Congress. Also, for our second story, we asked you to join our Twitter poll.
We've been asking you whether you would pay for your kid to walk out on the pitch with their favourite footballer. 49% of you said no, 28% of you said yes, and 23% said, I'd rather pay for myself. Ballanalytics said, personally, he will not pay for his kid to be a mascot, but as a football enthusiast, he can see how this is another source of source for revenue generation for the clubs. Nasen Pet said, instead of indulging the egos and pockets of celebrities, they should be encouraged to spend time and money on more charitable pursuits or preservation of environment. And KN said, paid walkout? Seriously? I've always thought that it was a charity or community service. You can join the poll at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can also WhatsApp us to join the conversation at 018-789-8899.
Well, KN, we are here to inform you that unfortunately it's not a charity or community service, at least not for all clubs. So there are some Premier League football clubs across the top and lower tiers that are charging sky-high fees to parents for this practice of bringing mascots on the pitch. So, for example, West Ham charges £700. That's approximately 3,600 ringgit for us.
That is a huge amount.
Yeah. Leicester City, £600, you know, which the club's former player, Gary Lineker, has called dreadful avarice on Twitter. For a practice that actually was traditionally seen as a way for football players to connect with the community. I mean, what better way to encourage young love for the sport than to allow the children of that particular community to hold hands with their heroes, you know, and to be able to view the stadium from that very special vantage point.
So on the line, we have Ross Yusuf, a host of our BFM's football shows. Ross, what are the origins of this practice and what was the intent behind it?
As a kid, watching the FA Cup final, that was the only time you saw teams ran out with children as mascots. We never saw them in league games, basically, until about 1992, when the league rebranded and called itself the Premier League. Practically every game was televised, and then it became big business, and clubs started having mascots as kids. I should point out that right now, in the Premier League, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, and the two Manchester clubs do not charge for the privilege of being mascots. The purpose of them, I guess, is to show how much clubs are actually in touch with the community. But let's not forget that a lot of kids actually dream about actually walking out to full stadiums with their heroes in hand. The big clubs, the Liverpool, the Chelsea's, the Arsenal's, what they do is they go through their fan base. So you pick season ticket holders, people who buy tickets every year. You go for their children. There are sponsors' children. They also do hold competitions where you can actually win the chance to be a mascot for the day. As for the fee-paying clubs, I don't know. I guess there's a queue of people willing to pay exorbitant money to have their children parade on Tech TV.
So why are some of these clubs charging such fees?
Why clubs are charging these fees? I can only assume that the money goes straight back to the clubs. As far as West Ham is concerned, that the £700 plus the £80 that you pay for the kit for your kid, I guess will go straight to the two Davids and to paying off Vice Chairman Karen Brady, who costs a lot every year. But yeah, I guess they are supposed to be related back to the community and all that. With the other clubs, you find they are, because if you go to websites like Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, you can actually search out a chance to maybe have your kid become a mascot. And I guess that gives back to the community.
And do you think it's right for clubs to charge such exorbitant sums?
Oh, it's absolutely wrong. It is dead wrong for clubs to charge. I think that the big six clubs in England have shown the way. That's how it should be done. It is all about giving back to the community, and it's about parading kids who are somehow associated with the club. I know Premier League football is such big business now. I mean, you probably get lots of Asian kids in the line to be mascots now for English games, which is seen thousands of miles away. Yeah, it is wrong for the clubs to do it, but it will keep going on because there is a market for it.
So the two Davids that Ross referred to earlier are David Sullivan and David Gold, the joint owners of West Ham, which is one of the top 20 richest clubs in England. And meanwhile, the vice chairperson he talked about, whose Baroness Karen Brady, is paid a whopping salary of £898,000 a season.
Wow.
And last season, it was also revealed that the club had paid her another £500,000 on top of her salary for something called consultancy fees.
Well, no wonder they have to start charging children.
Or the children's parents.
Children's
actually.
Parents, rather. But interesting note, Cardiff City charges £255 per kid. And this club is owned by Malaysian tycoon Tan Sri Vincent Tan.
Yep.
But as the lucky holder of this privilege, what do you get out of it?
So West Ham's offer includes one adult ticket, a training session with community coaching staff, and a unique personalised mascot trophy.
I don't know what that is.
But bear in mind, as Ross mentioned earlier, parents also have to fork out £80 for the club kit that the child will wear to walk out with the player, because you can't just wear any t-shirt.
That's right.
T-shirt.
Yep, yep, yep. I think I've seen a photo of Cardiff City, for example. The kids, because it's owned by Tan Sri Vincent Tan, the jersey says Visit Malaysia. So there's a little, I mean, obviously there's a lot of advertising going
on
there.
It is advertising. Yeah, the jersey obviously. Is a walking billboard.
It is. It's real estate to be sold.
Exactly.
You even have second tier clubs like Nottingham Forest and Swansea charging mascot fees. Their packages include more goodies, match tickets, meals, gifts, other stuff for three other people along with the child, plus a full replica kit and dressing room access for the child. So the question is, do all these goodies make the cost more palatable? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I may not be the audience that they're trying to sell this to. But I'm assuming if you already come from that kind of background where you can afford these things, then yes, I suppose the more you get, you know, the more you feel like it's worth paying for. Mm. But it takes me back to this idea of then what is the point of this, right? Like, as you mentioned earlier, the idea of giving a child that perhaps wouldn't otherwise get to be in that position to kind of let them for that moment have that moment, that time of being next to their heroes. Is that really something that only rich people should be able to afford?
Yeah.
I feel very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, iHawk Nick on Twitter said that I'd rather kids' names be thrown in for a random draw for the walkout with players. Mm. This is how you build goodwill with fans. Mm. And I think that is probably one of the fairest way to give all children an equal opportunity a chance to have that that moment with their favourite players.
Absolutely.
And I've read that some clubs actually do a sort of a draw. They pick, underprivileged kids from local homes or charities. And to me, that is really heartwarming. I really feel that that's how you reach out. That's how you can connect. Even the idea of kids, who are, their parents are season ticket holders. I mean, season tickets are expensive in itself. Yeah. So presumably you are already privileged to a certain extent.
That's right.
Having said that, at least they are connected to the club.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are people who would say this is an experience like any other, right?
Of course, I'm sure it is.
We don't complain if Disneyland charges kids to go in, charges kids' parents to take their kids in.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, I don't agree. But, you know, if you view, I think the problem is we view something like football as not being in that same capitalist mold as we would a multi-billion dollar entertainment company. But the truth is, perhaps they're not very different after all.
Yeah.
I mean, football is no longer that working class sport that we are used to thinking of it.
I actually think they are a multi-billion dollar capitalist business. Like we said, you can advertise on jerseys. Mm-hmm. You place your advertisements around the pitch, merchandise, sponsorship. everything is about the big bucks with football.
Yeah. Top clubs recognize what this mascot for kids thing means to the families. And, you know, last September, Manchester City charged sisters Vera Cohen and Olga Hallon, aged 102 and 97 respectively, for accompanying the team onto the pitch. They were accompanied by Vera's great-grandsons, Max and Sammy Goldsmith, aged 10 and 4.
That's really nice. Hopefully they didn't charge the 102 and the 97-year-olds.
I mean, I think Ross is right that the clubs can actually get away with it because there's a market. Football is increasingly becoming more middle class. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more globalized. As he rightfully mentioned, people are willing to fly across the world to mm-hmm. attend matches yep. for their favorite, for their teams. So it's being marketed to places like Asia and the Middle East, you know, many of whom are middle class and much, much higher.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Aren't there those kinds of travel packages, you know, think traditional travel packages that include a hotel, spa and all of that? There are also those that include the football experience,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah. So football tourism.
yeah.
And
yeah.
actually there's a difference. The supporters in our regions, I think, tend to be more within the middle class, higher income range, compared to in Britain, where they were traditionally working class.
Right. Mm. And I suppose if you are from this part of the world, it's only a certain group of people that can think of even going to one of these matches personally.
Of course.
Yeah. yeah.
The so flight ticket
already,
alone,
exactly.
Right?
Mm. So that already sort of fences out the experience to only a particular mm-hmm. group of people. I can mm-hmm. understand, though, if you are from Britain and you've sort of grown up with football being, you know, something that was very accessible mm-hmm. and now it feels like it's being fenced off, mm-hmm. I can see that being very problematic.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, speaking of, you know, what fans in Malaysia have, of course, Malaysian football is on the rise and is also becoming privatized in a bid to improve professionalism. So we asked Ross again, do Malaysian clubs have a similar practice of using children as mascots? And do you think we'll be seeing monetization in that aspect as well?
It is being done in Malaysia. Yeah, last year, Malaysian football was actually sold. There was like a 10-year deal or something, lots of money being sold. So practically every Malaysian Super League game is televised. So it includes the whole rigmarole of teams coming onto the pitch, and they do all take to the pitch with children as mascots. I spoke to my friend in JDT, and he said, JDT do not charge for the privilege of being a mascot. What they do is they open it to the players' families, to people connected with the club, and to sponsors. Kids or anyone connected with the sponsors, they get a chance as well. And I understand it is also the same at the moment throughout the top level of football in Malaysia. There is no charge to be a mascot. But yeah, it has started in Malaysia. Where it will go, Lord only knows.
Honestly, it seems to be all about the money, and there'll be no turning back once you get on the gravy train.
Shall we check back on our Twitter poll again? Any updates on our responses?
Yeah, so we asked, would you pay for your kid to walk out on the pitch with your favourite footballer? 49% said no, 29% said yes, and 22% said that you would rather pay for yourself.
I don't know whether that's because you don't have kids or you leave your kids out of it.
They can learn and pay for themselves. Yeah, that's their point.
Probably, yeah. Well, this is something to ponder upon when you tune in to Ross and the Gang for Off the Ball at 8 p.m. tonight. And that's all the time we have on the Daily Digest today. Stay tuned, though, because after the 3 p.m. news bulletin on Earth Matters, Mira Sivasoli will be interviewing Subbaraj Rajature, a self-taught naturalist, on his career. You've been listening to me, T. Xiao Yi, Tina Carmelia, and Sharmila Ganesan. And to walk us out of the show, here's You'll Never Walk Alone by Jerry and the Pacemakers on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.